From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. All this week, we're focusing on the Middle East, and especially on the revived possibilities for peace between Israelis and Palestinians, what some are calling the window of opportunity. We'll have a series of reports throughout today's program. We'll hear how Hamas militants view the recent ceasefire agreement and how Jewish settlers are reacting to the Israeli government's plan to pull out of Gaza.
We'll also continue our series of conversations with young people in the region. Today we'll hear from a group of Palestinian students from Bir Zeit University on the occupied West Bank. But we begin in Jerusalem, where our colleague Robert Siegel sat down for a conversation with Israel's foreign minister.
Silvan Shalom is 47 years old. He's one of the younger stars of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's Likud party. He was born in Tunisia, trained as a lawyer, worked as a journalist. On the subject of dealings with the Palestinians, the foreign minister is cautious to the point of barely supporting Sharon. He favored a national referendum on disengagement from Gaza. 1 month ago, Silvan Shalom called a ceasefire a ticking time bomb that could blow up in Israel's face. I asked him if he still thinks that.
Absolutely. I think we are having a progress recently, while the cycle of violence looks maybe that it might come to an end. But it's only an optical illusion to believe that will last for a very long time. We're not taking the real measures, and I mean to dismantle the infrastructure of the terrorist organizations. Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas will not take the strategic decision to dismantle their infrastructure of those extremists. It will enable them to rebuild their infrastructure, and after a short time, maybe to try to carry out more attacks against us, and by that to destroy the whole peace process. So I think what needs to be done is to take this real decision to dismantle their infrastructure. It means to stop the smuggling of weapons, to shut down the tunnels and the laboratories where they're producing their weapons.
Does it mean to go and arrest and detain all the members of those organizations?
Absolutely. I think he should do it not only because of us. He should do it if he would like to remain in power for a very long time, because he can't control the territories and he can't have the authority while those terrorists are still holding illegal weapons, and they are still trying to carry out attacks against neighbor countries.
For the past several days, we haven't seen any such attacks since the summit.
I want you to know, and maybe the first time I would say it, only the day before yesterday, terrorists were on their way to carry out an attack against us, and it was only a miracle that they didn't succeed to do it.
Where was that?
I don't want to give the details now, because still they are under investigation, and not all of the cell was arrested. But still, they are planning many terrorist attacks. Look, we had two major problems with the Palestinians about firing those missiles from Gaza toward Israel on one end, on the other end, by carrying out attacks against the Israelis. Well, we told him very clear and very sharp that if we won't put an end to those missiles that we're firing for a very long time toward Israel, we'll do it instead of him. He have done it in 3 hours, and we think it's very good. Even today there were a few missiles, but still, if I compare it to 100 to 200 missiles every week, it looks much better now. But on the other end, we can't give those extremists the power to decide when to put an end to the peace process.
How does that influence what steps Israel would take toward the Palestinian Authority, in your view? I mean, should you not remove roadblocks until you see that happening?
I want you to know that during 2004, we moved and canceled 90 roadblocks. And the only reason we could have done it is because we built a security fence. Well, we have this preventative measure that don't allow them or are giving them the possibility to come from the territories into the state of Israel. We don't need those roadblocks anymore.
But the Palestinians would say that's because you've replaced 90 small roadblocks with one enormous roadblock.
everything that we would do won't be enough. We know those complaints and those claims for a very, very long time. We took many, many decisions recently that I think are moving into the right direction. We have decided to evacuate 5 cities, starting with Jericho, Bethlehem, Tulkarem, Qalqilya, and Ramallah. We have decided to release 500 prisoners that we released them already, and now we're going to release more for hundreds. We took the decision to give them more freedom of movement. We took the decision to increase the number of employees that will work in Israel, and so on and so on. So I believe we are doing many things.
Foreign Minister Sivan Shalom of Israel, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
What we've just heard from the Israeli foreign minister about the armed Palestinian groups is utterly different from what I heard last week from Palestinians in Gaza City. All over the walls there, you can see posters memorializing the young Palestinians who belonged to Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and who died, some in suicide bombings, some in firefights with Israelis. Israel condemns them as terrorists. Palestinians honor them as martyrs. How those factions behave and how the Palestinian Authority deals with them are key questions for the future. For now, their bombs are silent, the Israelis are no longer targeting their leaders, and the new Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, is negotiating with them to join in a national consensus. Hamas is the most interesting of these groups, since it's more than just an armed faction. It's the Palestinian Islamist movement. It has a worldview, political Islam. It provides social services. A poll out today gives it about 20% support among Palestinians. That's half the support that Abbas's Fatah movement commands, but it is the most significant minority in Palestinian politics. Bloodied and exhausted by fighting, with thousands of its members in prison, many of its leaders killed by Israel, Hamas has a stake in a ceasefire. But Hamas spokesman Sami Hamdan Abu Zuri told us in Gaza the armed intifada that seems to have ended achieved important things.
For sure, and the main achievement of it, that the Israelis, the enemy, they decide to withdraw from Gaza.
How confident are you that the Israelis will withdraw from Gaza?
المهم أنهم بدأوا يتحدثون عن ضرورة الانسحاب من غزة الآن يتحدثون عن الانسحاب منها
The most important that they started to talk about the necessity of withdrawing from Gaza. I'm sure and completely convinced that they are going to leave. Maybe it will take time, but they are going to do.
What is Hamas's position on the state of Israel? Does it have a right to exist?
الصراع العربي الإسرائيلي هو صراع طويل ومعقد ولا يمكن حسمه بشكل سريع.
Well, the Israeli-Arab conflict is a very complicated and very long conflict, and it cannot be solved soon. So Hamas would accept permanent solutions to go on in life, but at the meantime, we cannot accept the legitimacy of the existence of Israel in the lands of the historical Palestine.
So far, for now, you don't concede any legitimate right of Israel?
For sure.
Can you imagine all of the armed men of Hamas working instead under a single government, that there will be a monopoly, a state monopoly on the use of force, and that will be the government, and that the people who have carried weapons for Hamas will now perhaps become policemen who will carry weapons for the Palestinian Authority instead, or the state of Palestine instead?
This is for sure a natural thing, a natural result. But when it will happen? Only after the dismission of the occupation. Only when the Israelis are withdrawing from the cities. And then, of course, it is happening.
But in Gaza, the Israelis could be out of Gaza within months, completely. Does that mean within months they'll no longer be Hamas armed force at all, that it'll all be a single Palestinian security service, a single Palestinian armed force?
إذا كان انسحابا شاملا وحقيقيا نعم يمكن أن يحدث ذلك.
If it will be a complete real withdrawal, of course it will happen.
From Gaza, even if it hasn't completely happened in the West Bank.
No.
Yes.
This year, Hamas candidates did very well in local Palestinian elections, running as reformers against the corruption of the Fatah establishment. But the movement boycotted the presidential vote. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas wants Hamas to evolve into a political party and field candidates in legislative elections this summer. Negotiators are crafting an electoral system by which some members of the Palestinian Legislative Council, the PLC, would be chosen by proportional representation from party lists. Until now, they've been chosen from legislative districts. Spokesman Sami Hamdan Abu Zuri says Hamas and other smaller Palestinian factions favor that change.
The other system of the list is giving bigger chance for them to be part of the PLC members. And this is what we are looking for.
He says Hamas is studying that proposed election law positively. People whom Israel might want to see in Palestinian jails may sit in the Palestinian legislature instead. Each faction in Gaza brings a distinct challenge to Palestinian efforts to reform and negotiate peace with Israel. For now, all the factions speak of swearing off violence for the short term while waiting to see what Israel does. Future prisoner releases are vitally important to them. And so is the one tangible change in their situation, the ability to circulate in public without fear of being spotted by Israeli drones and killed by Israeli rockets.
Our special Mideast coverage continues at our website, npr.org. You can find an interactive map, bios of key Palestinian and Israeli players, and a glossary of terms about the region.